No dobrze, to możemy.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the results presentation. I wish the weather was as good as yesterday, but I hope the weather will be better once we present our results for the first quarter of 2018. With me here, I'm here with the CEO, Michał Gajewski, Wojciech Skalski, Financial Accounting Area, Maciej Reluga, the CFO. My name is Agnieszka Dowżycka and I'm in charge of investor relations. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming to our presentation. I will be talking, apart from the financial highlights, I'll be talking about our strategic projects that we are involved in, and I will also want to touch upon what we announced last year, that's the rebranding project and the fact we are changing our registered address. Let me start from the basic information. In the first quarter, as you can see on slide number four, the gross portfolio went up by 5% year on year. Customers, the funds, deposits and investment funds went up by 6%. Assets up by 8%, achieving the level of 157.6 billion zlots. As a group, we have 6.5 million. The sole BZWBK has a client portfolio of 4.4 million. We see a rising tendency when it comes to the electronic channels and the preferences of our customers. We'll be talking about it in detail on the next slide. We see 3.4 million. That's the number of customers with access to our electronic banking services. 1.4 million use our mobile banking app. The following slide is about our retail business, Bank As You Want It. That's what we proposed to our customers last year. The flagship product that we launched was the Account As You Want It. We have opened 500,000 of these. Our bank strategy is not only focused on acquiring new customers, but also extend the base of our loyal customers. Therefore, we managed to convert 311,000 customers to the account as you want it, and we also opened 190,000 accounts. There are a few new things in retail banking. We've got new vehicle insurance. We have a new mobile savings account with very attractive pricing. We also launched Garmin Pay together with MasterCard and Visa. We have 500 customers that choose that innovative service. It's worth highlighting that in retail banking, we are now running a pilot project for international blockchain-based payments. We have conducted 100 transactions in that area. Those payments may only be made to the United Kingdom. They can be realized within 60 seconds. That's how quick it takes to credit the beneficiary's account. That's based on an innovative technology offered to our retail customers. Of course, this will be extended to other geographies where the Santander Group is operating. Got good sales dynamics in retail. We should highlight the mortgage loans. During the previous meeting, I said that's the market segment we're especially interested in and that we are focused on, just as we were last year. 22% increase in sales in that business line. We're also happy to say that we achieved a 16% growth in cash loans, so we're not slowing down here. We're also going up in terms of investment funds. We see a growth here. We're extending our offer by new geographies and new asset class. So this is something we're particularly happy about. The following slide is about our omni-channel strategy and how our customers react to our new solutions. The growth that you see in the number of customers is quite amazing. On 7% year-on-year, that's the growth in the number of customers with access to e-electronic banking and mobile. Then we've got an increase in the number of active digital customers, 5.4% year-on-year. We also have an increase of 25% of our mobile application users. And what's worth noting is an increase of 68% of mobile transactions in the quarter. Almost 160,000 customers use our mobile HCE and Google Pay cards. I think it's also important to say that over 100,000 customers regularly pay with BLIK. Part of our multi-channel distribution is, of course, the core, our branch network. Still, a lot of our customers are willing to stay with the branches and bank through the branches, and the new proposal relies in the fact we're opening cashless branches located in commercial malls. Those have ATMs, CDMs. They have a more advisory than transactional function. This is a very important channel for us to acquire new customers. Therefore, we'll be launching islands, stands in commercial centers where the flow of customers is the highest. We'll also be modernizing our existing branches. There'll be more digital. The processes will be made simpler, more transparent, and we'll be also highlighting the local character of those branches. We're doing that, for example, in Ostrów Wielkopolski. We see that those customers that want to bank through branches, they highly appreciate that local element we are introducing, and we see the satisfaction ratio levels are rising following the introduction of that new branch format. We're also taking advantage of the group experience. We've got a new branch concept. It's called Santander Work Cafe. It also involves a co-working space for people outside the bank. We're looking at that closely, and this year we'll also want to launch a branch of this type in our network. A few words about our SMEs now.
In this case, we are also very happy with the growth. We noted 12% growth in deposits, while the sales of new loans increased by 80% in this segment. It is important that this translates into the growth in the number of loyal clients, which increased by 10% year-on-year. We also introduce here innovative new solutions. For example, remote advisor, the possibility to get in touch with the advisor via video link. We introduce the voice biometry or video verification. In corporate banking, that's the next slide, we continue here the growth track. We have the customer acquisition primarily among the companies dealing with exports. We also introduced new sectoral strategy, and we are approaching the sectors which are most prospective and interesting in our opinion. And this is food and agro sector, automobile sector, transport, logistics, fast-moving consumer goods, materials for construction and wrappings. When we take a look at the income generated in quarter here, we can say that the growth was between 12 to 15%. Trade finance increased by 11%. The balances of performing loans are also growing quicker than the market. So we can say that we monetize the economic revival. We leverage the growth in the selected sectors. We also work on new technological solutions for corporate clients. For the first time, we introduced the service called external banks. PSD2 does not necessitate to introduce it for corporate clients, but we've done it for them. So in our application, they can see the accounts they have with other banks. They can see the balances, they can initiate transfers, domestic and international, via our application. We also introduced a new way of access to this application, which is Face ID. So the logging in is done by identification of the face. We should also highlight that we have new solutions such as drop boxes, mini CDMs, and bill payments online. So this was a new project and product for the clients. On the next slide, we are talking about something I already mentioned. We are not only running day-to-day business in this bank, and we not only grow the existing business, but at least we have four large strategic projects in the pipeline that will decide, determine the success of our bank in the future. And that's the project that you already know very well, that is the acquisition of the carved-out business of Deutsche Bank. The work in this case is well advanced, and we've already run first tests for data migration, which completed successfully. At this stage, this is a big step ahead. That's why we are very optimistic when it comes to the projected actual merger in quarter four 2018 in legal terms, in actual terms. We can see that this was also appreciated by the Moody's rating agency. They changed our outlook from stable to positive, with the rating at A3 maintained. We know that Santander Group was given a better rating than expected, so we might benefit from that going forward. Let me also mention the agile transformation. Being aware of the pace of growth of changes in the market and the way the technological changes are introduced, we decided that we have to change the way we operate in our headquarters. We have to change the silos-based organizational structure. We have to make it more flexible, responding quicker to client needs and facilitating quicker implementation of technological changes, the quicker release of IT systems. That is why we've already introduced this way of operating in retail banking. We've already put in place four tribes, and we operate there in a new way. And we think that this will bring effects, especially when it comes to the time to making changes. And this will also increase the NPS for clients. The mortgage bank, we've already mentioned that on the 9th of March, we actually filed our submission to the KNF, which is now being processed. So this way we confirmed our plan to set up a mortgage bank and the work here is well advanced. Rebranding. I would like to tell you a little bit more about it. That's a new project that was announced last week. This is another natural stage of our presence in Santander Group. We've been members of Santander Group since 2011. In 2013, we already built a new element to the name Santander Group. You can see that here on the wall. And we decided now that it's the time to change the name and relocate our registered office. We've already received the consent of the Polish Financial Supervision Authority. And as I've said, if we look at the pace of technological changes around us, we are living in the era of global brands. And this does not refer only to technological institutions, to software manufacturers, but also to financial institutions. We need to emphasize strongly our international presence, the fact that we are member of the biggest bank in the Eurozone in terms of capitalization, that we are members of one of the global groups, innovative group that focuses on new technologies and digital transformation. That is why we want our customers to be more and more aware that we are part of such a group. We think that the student rate has played its role and it does not carry such a potential as the name Santander. On the 16th of May at the annual general meeting of shareholders, we want to propose that change to shareholders, and once they decide in quarter three, when the change of the brand is registered, we'll start a big rebranding campaign. This will be also prior to the acquisition of the merged business of Deutsche Bank. So then naturally, we will go ahead with the rebranding of Deutsche Bank branches to the new brand, Santander. What was also important for us, you know how it is difficult to attract new talents on the Polish markets. We decided that from the point of view of the top employer image, it will be important for people to know that we are part of the global group. And we want to emphasize this when recruiting new employees and new clients. Both myself and the management board, we are all convinced that this will actually support the execution of our strategy, that is attraction of new clients and growing the satisfaction of our existing clients. This will also support us in becoming the best bank for shareholders and customers and for our employees. This is all about rebranding. The next slide gives you basic financial information.
As you know, we generated net profit of 439 million zlotys. The additional costs of 58.3 million of EBFG levy, that's what we had to pay to make the underlying profit, would have to exclude that, and then the net profit would have got up by 9.7%. The financial levies amounted to 180.5% of corporate income tax. Our banking tax was 0.6% higher compared to the last year, and it was in the first quarter 106.5 million zlotys. Our capital ratios are robust. They are compliant with a regulator. The Tier 1 is at 15.31%, while the TCR is 16.67%. The return on equity at 11.4%.
We estimated it on the last four quarters. The underlying result, to comparing it with the first quarter of 2017, we'd have to exclude the BFG premium. Then the return on equity would be at 11.7, which is even better and one of the top in our peer group. I want to talk about the dividend now. That seems a good moment. As you know, we have received an individual recommendation from a regulator, the KNF, on increasing own funds through retaining total profit generated for 2017. We can pay out dividend from the retained profit for 2016. And the argument behind it is that is to maintain this prudential approach we have to our capital base in the context of those quite large strategic undertakings, including the merger with Deutsche Bank. The management board and the supervisory board, of course, followed that recommendation, and we will, as a result, will pay out 307.63 million of undivided profit for 2016, which is 3.1 zlot per share. We will, of course, strive to maximize the dividend payout in the following years. From the retained undivided profit for 2016 and 17, and just to remind you, this represents 1.5 billion zlots. So once the merger with Deutsche Bank is closed, we will be applying to the regulator and to the shareholders to pay out the dividend from the retained and undivided profit. It's worth highlighting that the bank issued subordinated bonds of a total of 1.1 billion. The subscription exceeded our expectations because the demand was two or three times higher. The price we managed to place them was 6 month WIBOR plus 1.6% margin. So that is very good pricing. Maciej will now talk about the macro environment.
Dziękuję bardzo. Witam serdecznie jeszcze raz.
Good morning, a warm welcome once again. Compared to what we presented to you a quarter ago in terms of macroeconomic outlook, it improved when it comes to economic climate. The GDP forecast was already changed after the publication of data for 2017. We are above the consensus because the consensus has been catching up with us in recent weeks and months, but it seems to me that the GDP forecast at 4.3% for this year, it's a good reflection of both risks, upsides and downsides. The data published in recent period confirmed that after January and February, which were very good, in March there was some slowdown in industrial output, which fits well into the suggestions that come from Europe that the peak might be over. So this triggers the risk for net exports in 2018 and for industrial production. But on the other hand, we have really good data on domestic demand, especially consumption. And you can see that our projection is at least 5. So that's a good prognostic. And this all is combined with all the payments. So 5% growth in consumption, that would be the historical highest for a few years. And that we stand a good chance to record it. When it comes to investments, the recent developments reflect that it's not too difficult to make forecasts, because yesterday there was a big data revision. If we stepped back and looked at the forecast for investments for quarter four, it was in the order of 6%. First, everybody underestimated that because it was close to 12, but now it turned out that actually the forecasts were on the hit, because it's now 5.5. But in my opinion, it does not necessitate the change in the investment outlook for 2018. Because the reasons for that, according to the Polish statistics, are lower layouts on the local administration units and lower expenses on armory and weapons. But these are not elements that are the underlyings of the pace of growth. So the forecast referring to investments might be change the acceleration in 2018 as compared to 2017 will take place, of course, in my opinion. But the question mark and the paradox of the recent quarters is that, along with increasing the GDP growth rates and consumption and the growth on the labor market, which shows more and more that this is the market where we should expect a bigger growth in wages, and stronger domestic demand should translate into high prices. At the same time, we revise down the inflation outlook. Quite a lot has been said about it. Our revision for inflation is shown on the slide. You can see that on the average is under 2% across the year. But we expect inflation to go towards 2%. Both the core inflation and the CPI. But still, it doesn't change the fact that this will be under the central bank's target, clearly below. And in this context, it's no surprise what the central bank says, which suggests unchanged rates for a longer period of time. Now the question is, what is the longer time? In my opinion, I think that the signals indicating for 2019 were really conditional. But I think that the market conditions will not be met for that. So we envisage the hike a little bit earlier, next year, as you can see at this slide. This is the change versus what we showed last quarter, because at that time we hoped that it might take the turn of 1918. Today we can forget about it. The hike built into this projection in 2019 is towards the very end of the year. So from the point of view of our planning, its impact on the delivery of the budget will not be crucial. But there are two elements, without getting into detailed macroeconomic analysis, there are two elements that might make the central bank to hike the rates earlier than they suggest now. First are as follows. Are the potential actions taken by the European Central Bank earlier in quarter one or two of 2019. And it's not that the Polish Central Bank will just follow the ECB route. But if the European Bank hikes the rates, that will be for a reason. And the same reason might be holding true for the Polish Central Bank. The second reason, and probably we'll come back to that talking about costs later, it might turn out that the wage pressure will be higher. Of course, it's been 7% presented, and we stick to that. But we do not preclude that it might be a two-digit growth at the turn of 2018. And if that's the case, it might mean a bit higher inflation than expected by the central bank. And there might be a slight adjustment of the rates earlier than later. When it comes to what is happening in the banking sector, well, on the deposit side, we can see a stabilization between 4 or 5%. The current deposits, they grow quite quickly. The decline in term deposits is witnessed year on year, but quarter on quarter, we can see a growth in business term deposits, and we know that as well. When it comes to loans, first of all, talking about businesses, we can see the continuation of trends that I outlined last quarter. I was telling then that the pace of growth in 2017 accelerated quarter on quarter, and in 2018, in quarter one, the situation is similar because the growth was in the order of 8%. Robust growth. The demand on the business side is well visible. If we look at the mix of the loans, long-term loans and short-term loans, there is a slight acceleration working capital short-term loans, but maybe the classification does not reflect the reality, because we know that quite often investment activities are financed by working capital loans, especially in smaller companies. Talking about personal loans, quite good pace of growth. Cash loans, the growth by 7-8%. Mortgage loans in Polish zloty, two-digit growth. So we can see that there is slight revival in lending on the market, but as the CEO will tell you in a minute, we can see a bigger acceleration.
So let's move to our balance sheet now. As Maciej has said, yes, we are proud to announce that our loan volumes have increased significantly. In gross terms, we've got loan increase by 5% year on year. If we looked at the comparison quarter to quarter, that would be 2%. We achieved a level of 114.4 billion zlots. The highest increase is visible in the mortgage loan line. In PLN, that's an increase of 16%. A good news here is also that the Swiss franc mortgage portfolio is going down. The amortization is 8%. If we add on the PLN exchange rate, the decrease is by as much as 17%. We're very happy that the cash loans are also on the rise. We have sold 16% more than a year ago. SME loans and corporate loans, and we see growth here as well. There is a decrease in the property segment. It's because we're more selective in choosing the properties. We're looking closely at the investment and pick the ones that are most attractive in terms of the rates of return. Santander Consumer Bank registered a growth of 7%. The mortgage loan portfolio registered a decrease, but there was an increase in the cash loans issued to retail customers. So a good quarter in terms of loan performance. Slide number 19 is showing you how the customer funds progressed. We've got an increase by 6% year on year. If we looked and deposit solely, that would be an increase of 5%. And here we reached a level of 113.6 billion zlots as at the end of March. Term deposits up by 7% quarter on quarter. Demand deposits went down by 4%. What is worth noting here, as I've already mentioned, we've got an increase in the investment funds by 18%. Volume-wise, that's up by 2.5 billion, so quite an impressive growth in that line. If we look at the deposits again, broken down by retail and business, in the retail side, we've got an increase of 3%, while on the business side, including corporate and SMEs, that's an increase of 8%. The following slide shows you the net interest income and the net interest margin. And that's another quarter to see the NIM go up 3.98% at the end of the first quarter. But let me start by the net interest income. We've got an increase by 11%. That's a level of 1.4 billion zlots. Interest income went up by 8.3% to 1.67 billion zlots. The interest costs were reduced by 2.3%, achieving a level of 289 million zlots. The credit margin, in that line, we managed to continue the positive trend from the previous quarter. So the increase of 5 bps in the first quarter in terms of NIM, that's on the asset side. And at the same time, we managed to maintain the cost of funding more or less at the same time. We look at it from a yearly perspective, we see a significant improvement both on the asset and on the liability side by 24 bps. So NIM at 3.98%. Fee income on the following slide, we've got an income at 515 million zlots. That's an increase of 8.4%. We see highest increase in on the loan side, particularly in the corporate segment. That's an increase by almost one third year on year. We've got better FX income, up by 14.1%, and this is the result of our actions taken to support foreign trade and develop our EFX platform and iBusiness 24. When it comes to cards, we see a higher fee by 10.6%. And this is because there are more transactions and more cards in our portfolio. Our portfolio now consists of 4.7 million cards, including 800,000 credit cards. So to sum up our gross income, so we see higher interest income by 11%, fee income higher by 8%. So total income, a significant increase, 8% year on year. So that's the second quarter where we exceed the level of 2 billion when it comes to the total income. It's worth noting, I think, that the non-interest and non-fee income went down. But we think this is a temporary thing because of some negative valuation of derivatives. But despite that, we managed to break the threshold of 2 billion zlots. And Maciej will be talking about costs now. I want to just remind you, in 2017, in the first quarter, we estimated the premium to be paid to BFG for the resolution fund. Then it turned out our figure was slightly underestimated, so we had to add up in the following quarter. This year, we still haven't received the exact information to the premium, as to the premium amount. We will be releasing that in our reports as soon as it's available in our current report. So it might turn out that we will have to revise the figure we are disclosing now. So there might be changes here, upwards or downwards, in the following quarter. That's the first element that brings our cost base up. If we had taken that out, we could see that the costs rise at a rate of about 5%. So here we've got the labor cost up by 3%. I mentioned that already during our previous meetings and also during the macro presentation. I think we don't know if we'll be able to maintain this increase of 3%. It could be higher. When it comes to the administration cost, there are two aspects, because on the one side, as you see in the note 11 of the report, I think it's note 11, some lines are higher than the average of 2017, for example, IT system maintenance, but the digit was quite low of the last quarter of 2017, so if we take out the average figure, it would be more or less the same as in 2017. We would find the same tendency when we're looking at external services and consulting, but the truth is here that the cost base is higher. And considering what Michał has said before in terms of the strategic projects, we cannot rule out that some pressure on the costs will be maintained. It might be transitionary, because there will be investment in projects that will, of course, bring about benefits in the future. We mentioned one already in December when we talked about the merger costs. 255 million in 2021. Those costs will be concentrated throughout the first years, and this project is underway already, so the impact will be visible and will be visible throughout 2018.
When it comes to provisions, giving our guidance for 2018, we were talking about 80 basis points. And all in all, if we analyze the performance in quarter one, we are roughly around that level. A little bit lower, actually, but given that there was a sale of NPLs in SCB, and I will tell you about that in a minute, stripping it off, it might be a bit higher than 80 bps, but it's still within the range provided in our guidance for 2018. Talking about the quality of the portfolio and the position of ours, it's stable in SME and personal portfolios. There are no major changes. There are no new NPLs, really. And we can't really see the impact of IFRS 9. It might arise if the situation started to change, but it's not the case. Talking about corporate exposures, and that's what we describe in our quarter. In quarter one, we had just few cases which increased the cost of credit risk a little bit, but it's not much. So we might say that the risk charge and the figure we showed for quarter one is in line with what might have been expected. And for the whole year, I think that the guidance of 80 basis points, we think there's no reason to change it, because the portfolio performs in a stable manner without any major surprises. Talking about the influence of the sale of NPL portfolios, that's shown on the next slide. In quarter one, we had the sale of NPLs from SCB portfolio. In the case of BZWBK, it was a very small amount, but we do not preclude that we might have some deals in quarters to come. In SCB, you might remember that usually the first quarter sees quite a big amount. Last year it was spread over the two quarters, and the figure sold in this quarter might indicate that there might be another deal in the next quarter. But let me repeat the comment that I gave last quarter. This is well reflected here. SCB sold more last year, and while the impact is smaller, because if we sell at good prices, at A price, and we sell at similar prices, the prices are built in, embedded into the risk models. So we would have to have a sale at a higher price to have a bigger impact again. So the impact on the financial performance of subsequent sales transaction is smaller if they are at similar prices. And we have also BFG costs and KNF, but I think that's everything has been said on that. And the last two slides. They present the summary. What we can say to conclude. We are leveraging the good macroeconomic environment. We are growing quite well, especially in certain segments, especially mortgage loans, 16% up year on year. Good growth in cash loans. We can see acceleration in corporate lending, which is reflected in the fee income. The fee income itself, the net fee income, we are resilient to seasonal tendencies because the first quarter might have been worse, but it saw the solid growth just like in quarter four by 8%. Total income above 2 billion. Costs already mentioned, the risk charge as well. Excluding the change of timing to make paying the levies to BFG, that is 58 million, we have the growth by 10% profit, which is really robust growth. And shortly about the effective tax rate. 26.7 in quarter one, higher than the nominal rate because of the banking guarantee levy, but it's lower than in 2017 in quarter one because at that time we had higher sales of NPLs. And I think that's it in our part, so the floor is yours. You're welcome to ask your questions. Michał Konarski, mBank. Let me come back to dividend for a while. Why are you making this payment and the amount set from 2016? You could pay more. Why are you still keeping some undistributed profit? Originally, we proposed the payment from 2016 profit and from 2017 profits. And this proposal was sent to the KNF. But the regulator responded that we can only pay out the proposed dividend from the 2016 profits. We were in the dialogue with them, but as I said, the main argument of the KNF was the Deutsche Bank project. And that's why we agreed that once we finish that project next year, we will be able to talk about paying out a bigger dividend. So originally we proposed 30%, if my memory serves me right, from 2016 profit and 30% from 2017 profit. Well, to put it accurately, 30% of retained profit for 2016 from the undistributed part. So it's not accidental. Jukasz Jańczyk, IBM Securities. I have two questions. One referring to rebranding. What sort of costs, direct ones, you expect in this case? And once after rebranding, will there be any annual payments made to the parent? And the second question referring to performance in quarter one, there's the sale on profit on the sales of assets and high profit on Santander Consumer Bank. So it suggests that this was something done by SCB. Well, 40 plus million gains on the sales of assets. What was that? Let me answer your first question referring to rebranding. For us, this is a long-term investment. The costs will be spread across 2018 and 2019. As I've said, we want to start that in quarter three. Now we have the first estimates only because we are just getting ready to the project. And we have the first estimates, but it's too early to tell you what will be the cost. When it comes to the costs, none of Santander geographies is not charged with the cost of using the brand. Does it have any tax implications? We don't know yet. This is being examined by our financial teams. And quite soon we should know whether if we have to pay any taxes for free of charge usage of the brand. The second question, the sales of properties, 44 million. This is described in detail in the report.
Michał Konarski again. I have a question about rebranding. Again, following the rebranding, will you be doing anything else with Santander Consumer Bank? Those two brands operating in the market could be a bit confusing to the customers. Santander Consumer Bank has a separate license with a separate business model. It's a bank selling installment plans, cash loans, offering other products than we do. They do not have business accounts in their product mix, for example. So it's not a universal bank. We have not considered it yet, but that doesn't, of course, mean we won't in the future. The names, the two names are different. Santander Consumer Bank is different from Santander Bank Polska in terms of names also.
It's Olga Veselova, Merrill Lynch. I have several questions. My first question is, could you update us, please, on potential impact on your margins from the Deutsche Bank consolidation? My second question will be possibly longer term. If we were to assume that the policy rate will stay flat, I know it's not your base case, but will stay flat for long, and if we exclude this Deutsche Bank impact, then when do you think margin will start to erode under the pressure of competition? Is it a question of quarters? Is it a question of years? And my question number three would be about MREL. I know it's very early stage to discuss, but do you think that the local standards will be broadly close to the European standards, 8% of assets? And do you think it will be based on the concept of multiple entry or single entry calculation? Thank you.
Dziękuję bardzo.
Thank you very much. First question, the margin. The margin and the merger. As I said during our previous meeting a quarter ago, of course, we have to bridge the liquidity gap of a few billion. We know what it was. We know exactly what it was at the end of 2016, and this was released in the investors' presentation. And as I've said before, this will, of course, make it difficult for us to increase the net interest margin this year. We'll need additional financing. We could imagine two extreme scenarios. The first would be based solely on building our deposit group. And this scenario, from the very beginning, of course, costs more because we'll be attracting not only by the quality, our brand, and the standing of our bank, but also with pricing. But the impact on that, on NIM, in the long term would be positive. The other extreme scenario is that we wait till the very end and then we theoretically bridge the liquidity gap through an issue on the wholesale market. At the moment, the impact on NIM in 2018 would be lower in that scenario, but it would be higher later, depending on the term of such financing, of the wholesale financing. So depending on the market condition, on the deposit market, but also on the wholesale market, we have to be flexible, and those conditions will determine our final approach. So I think our approach will be a mixture of that, and we will have to add a third element that we used in the past, and that will include bilateral agreements with international financial institutions. But during the first quarter, I was hoping to see NIM starting at 4%. It's slightly lower. It's almost 4%. We'll now see in the following quarters even higher pressure on NIM, so it will be difficult to exceed the 4% level. Remember, this liquidity gap in the fourth quarter will be bridged by the surplus asset that will come after the merger. That will happen in the fourth quarter when we'll be consolidating our assets. So we'll gain additional liquidity through that. The fact is that in the second and third quarter, I'm sure there will be pressure on NIM. As Michał has said before, we see that more on the asset side than on the funding side. We saw that the cost of funding in the first quarter remained almost unchanged, and the asset mix, looking at their structure, that results in a higher margin, of course. And if the rates remain unchanged, what would the margin be without the merger with Deutsche Bank? So we're talking about theory than practice. But looking at our asset mix, I think there is a chance for improvement in NIM. Looking at the funding, if we did not have the liquidity gap with Deutsche Bank, I think that on the funding side, we could see improvement, especially considering the fact how attractive our account, as I wanted, proved to be, and looking also at the business accounts. So now, to make it even more complicated, I'll now move to the third question, considering MREL, because on the liability side, of course, it impacts everything. But I think it's too early to say anything. As a point of entry, we will get some guidelines from the regulator as to the level that we will have to reach, as I assume, at the end of 2020. But as of today, even if I wanted to build that instrument as of today, in this legal environment, I can't, because we're still waiting. For the introduction of a dedicated law. Even if it happens in 2018, then maybe from 2019 onwards, we could start building it. We've got some rough estimates, our own in-house rough estimates as to the risk-weighted asset levels and the requirements, but I think it's too early to announce anything. So we're still awaiting the guidelines from the regulator.
I've
said a lot, but I don't know if I have answered all of your questions.
If there are no other questions from the room, I'll read out the questions from the internet. The first question.
Book and a cost in 1Q related to Deutsche Bank Poland acquisition.
Może ja od razu powiem, że w
sumie... Let me answer straight away. I mentioned that the impact of that element, and I mentioned the scale. I did not give you any annual impact, but if we broken down the 255 from the 3 years and divided into three parts, then we will not be mistaken. And the process has started, but we have not given exactly how much of these costs were posted in the first quarter.
Number two, was impact from IFRS 9 introduction on the net interest income?
Niewielki, pomijalny.
Marginal only.
Pytanie numer trzy, what is the rebranding cost budget?
No to już chyba o tym powiedzieli.
I think this has already been answered by Michał.
Be able to keep the 1Q18 level of mortgage and cash sales during 2018.
Ja może powiem, że w zeszłym roku...
Let me say that the sales of mortgage loans was 5.2 billion worth of sales. And when you ask the question how this will look like this year, at the previous conferences, I said that it's our ambition to keep the same sales volumes this year. If you take a look at quarter one, the big driver of that was the first home buyer scheme. And we expect that our share in that was 26%. Our estimates of the sales on the market were at 11 to 12%. When I am talking to my mortgage advisors in our bank, and when I'm asking them whether the number of applications received is lower now than in quarter one, they tell me no, that there is still a big interest, that clients keep to be interested in buying real estates, and in terms of the number of received applications, the volume doesn't change. So this makes us optimistic. And taking into account that there is a big demand and that we can see developers making a lot of new investments and that they start to hike the prices, we think that the sales will look equally good. And I think that our expectations and plans for this year will be delivered. When it comes to cash loans, our ambition is to grow the sales in this area, not only to keep the volumes as they are, but to grow them further.
Marta Czajkowska, Bałtyga, Haitong.
Marta Czajkowska.
I have a detailed questions when it comes to your quarterly results in fees. The income was quite good and it was delivered on quite low costs of fees. Is that due to a seasonal effect? Can we see, do you expect higher costs in the following quarter?
Just at the top of my head, in the previous quarter, you might remember I said that the net fees were slightly reduced because of relationship fee renewal with their sales network, and that we saw that a lot in the second half of 2017, and that item was very low in the first quarter of 2018, hence the reduced costs.
Jeszcze może jedno pytanie.
One more question about dividend. I would like to understand that your intent is to pay out undistributed profit from 2016 and 17. Have you talked to the KNF? What is their approach to that? Because there are some restrictions when it comes to the payment of dividend for a given year, K1, K2. And this reduces the level of dividend. If you wanted to pay out 1.5 billion, and if that was more than 30% of the net profit for 2018, have you talked to the KNF about that? Will they allow it? Or will they say that the cap is 30%? As I said, we have been in the dialogue. We have been talking to them when talking about the dividend payout this year. We've agreed that we will continue the talks on the payout from the undistributed profit for previous years. I declared that in line with their recommendations, we will comply with them. But we've agreed together that we'll come back to the conversation on the payment of dividend in the next year. So I cannot tell you anything precisely, but this will be our proposals, and we've been in the dialogue with the regulator on that, committing at the same time to comply with the recommendations received from them for this year. Okay, another question then. Can I understand it this way, that additionally you could pay out more part of the profit from 2018, apart from undistributed profit for 2016 and 17? What you can imagine or understand it this way. But referring to the earlier question, when you mentioned the 30% out of 2018 profit, probably we should not be talking about that, about 25. Today, we don't know where we are going to be. If we are at the level of 100%, we'll be talking about 50%. Because after concluding the transaction with Deutsche Bank and the merger, most likely the share of the mortgage loans denominated in foreign currencies will reduce in the total portfolio. So one of the Swiss franc-related criteria will cease binding on us. So if we meet the criteria for paying out 75% for dividend payout, we will deduct from that 50%, so there will what will be left will be 25%. Okay, then, thank you very much, and let's talk offline and enjoy the food.